The Bible is funny.
I'm here recording. The Bible is Funny podcast family. We are recording right now an episode of the Bible is Funny podcast. This has never been done in the history of podcasts before. People have talked about it. They've dreamed about it. Some people have attempted it, but no one's ever pulled it off. We're doing two podcasts at the same time. I want to welcome everyone to the Bible is Funny podcast, but I am not alone in this podcast. I have some very special guests with me. I have Shama and PD, better known together when their powers combined, they make Deuteronomy memes.
Yeah. With our powers combined, it's more of like Pacific Rim, the kaiju, when like two people are in like one of those big machines and they're like in sync. That's how we are, but with like wholesome G-rated Christian comedy. The machine is Christian comedy.
You guys are you do so much good stuff through that though too. Like I was getting ready to chat with you, and I was like, it's the memes. It's the videos, it's the music stuff, it's the news, the church news you're doing is hysterical, absolutely hysterical.
Oh man, thank you, man, thank you. Well, thanks for being on our show, and thanks for having us on your show. I don't know who to thank. We also have our producer who's not in the frame, Jamie, aka Chase, in the corner over here. So he's like managing stuff for us.
We've called him Chase forever, but he informed us that his first name is James.
So we're like, dude, we got a Jamie for real. We're calling him Jamie. So yeah. You're laughing, so I know you get that.
I'm an Anthony, and so I'm very sensitive to the name thing, because like sometimes everyone's like, oh, Tony, he's Tony, and there's moments where I'm like, I don't. That's actually not. Okay, I guess that's me now. I am now Tony. You have no say. It gets off and running on you really quick.
Yeah. People get, my full name, my first name is Eli Shama, but I go by Shama. And apparently there was a song in a movie called Animal House called Shama Lama Ding Dong. And
Shama Lama Ding Dong, yeah.
Where I've met people, people are like, Shama, like Shama Lama Ding Dong. And finally I was like, what? What is this? And then I tried watching the movie, and the movie's not wholesome, by the way. Everybody, like a bunch of like pastors, have quoted me this movie. They're like, "Oh yeah, like it's Animal House. You gotta watch it." And I tried watching, and I'm like, "Oh, this is like it's like a 80s PG-13, which is like now is like a hard R."
Well, yeah. When you go to a church, how many boomers call you Shama Lama Ding Dong?
A lot. Now I'm like, you know, you think I know you've watched that movie. Yeah, I know what you're about.
I don't know what happened to them that they thought their movies were like not that bad. They were like, something happened between the 80s to now. That whole generation was like, yeah, they're fun. Yeah. Everyone's just having fun.
Right.
You guys are gross. You kids today are so gross with your movies and your music. And it's like, I don't know about all that.
So it's like when people talk about obviously there have been a ton of pop songs and rap songs with like very filthy lyrics. I watched some video of somebody explaining like old music and like when people like the filth of old music and things that people said. And it's like in the 30s, these like in the 1930s, people were going into studios and recording with like these old mics. And you know, they were paying like freaking $17, which is like a month's wage back then in studio time to record like the filthiest thing. And I'm like, okay, now anybody can do that. You can make a Walmart run and you're a producer. All right. Sorry. No offense to Andrew, our real producer, but you can do that. But back then you had to like incur cost and like go out of your house to be like, yo, I'm trying to record the worst filth people have ever heard. And people just allowed it. So
now people do that in their basement.
Yeah, people do that in their basement. It's like, oh, another one? Okay, fine.
Right, but it's also like, I wonder, how much credit are these older people giving, like, Ariana Grande? Like, oh, she was the first one that came up with this idea about singing about this.
Yeah.
Wasn't that like, a genius idea? No.
I know what you're talking about, but that's an off air story. But I recently had a realization one time while listening to one of Ariana's songs, and I was like,
I'm gonna guess which one when the show's over.
You have to guess. It's pretty obvious. But I was like, Jen. I was like, oh. And finally, like, it was kind of like, oh. But Anthony, I don't know much about you. We'll tell you about ourselves, but tell us about yourself, man. We'd love to get to know you.
He's a card-carrying Illuminati member.
Ooh, you gotta explain that when you say that.
Oh, have I? Yeah, not explained the Illuminati.
You gotta explain that.
There's a group of, like, I don't know, 20 or so meme pages in Christian memes, yes, that are the meme Illuminati.
Yes.
And we have, like, mm-hmm, a combined probably close to, like, 3 million followers.
Yeah, yeah. And you're in it. I'm in it as well, so we're in it.
You're technically in it, Shama. I don't. Are you in it? Are you just browsing a lot? I do.
I'm like a long time lurker. I'm in it. I'll like scroll, so I'll keep up with stuff. But
he'll comment like once a month. On
yeah,
it.
Once. I'm not. I'm a bad group chat member. Like every time there's a group chat, I feel like there's just so much momentum that when I'm in it, I'm like the dad. Like at a sleepover, and I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, I don't want to do that.
It is a lot. Like if you look at it, and there's like 5 hours of a conversation in there already.
Yeah, and it's
right,
like thick,
right.
You're sleeping. Like scrolls, and then I want to. I'm like, what do I say? So I don't know. And I'm really bad at promoting my stuff. So I'm like, oh, hey, watch this. And I'm like, no, I'll just put it out. You'll see it.
Shama, I'm so glad you just said that because I really get a lot of anxiety from group chats as well. Like, yeah. And the Illuminati one is just a monster. It's constantly going, and the variety of topics is insane. Like the way it flies from like, oh, look at this, Bernie's wearing mittens. And then it's like, here's a theological thing I'd like to discuss. And then people are sharing like personal, like real stuff. So it's all over the place. But I love that you brought up the group chat dynamic because I do feel a lot of anxiety in group chats. And I feel like I want to contribute, but then like a lot of times the energy gets going and I'm like kind of writing a response and then I'm like deleting my response. And then I'm like, wait, the conversation left. Now I can't even send this like response I want. And then I'll put all that work into one and I'll send it and I'll get no response. Like,
yeah.
That's happened, I think, to everybody in a group chat where you're like, oh, this will be so funny. And it just so happens that like all five of them got in the shower at the same time and nobody responds to your joke.
Yeah, dude, I know.
And it's devastating.
Especially with, I know. I think that's the thing. I'm in a group chat with like, where we talk about like gear and, you know, films and videos and stuff. So that sometimes I'll be like, hey, look, you'll enjoy this. When a group chat's like, comedy is such like a, what is it? It's a fog. It's a mist. Forgot. Like, what is it really? So then I'm like, how do I contribute to this to make it more funny in the context?
Dumb DMs that I get.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds funny.
Yeah.
I enjoy those.
That's a great contribution.
Yeah.
Thank you. Like somebody earlier said, like, your account is horrible. Like, delete your account. I'm paraphrasing, so I don't remember exactly what it was. But I was like, dude, you have a Kurt Cobain profile. Like, you can't say anything to me about my account being bad.
Comments.
That made me laugh out loud. But I was talking about, or I was thinking about getting to talk with you guys today, and I wanted to share this segment specifically for my podcast listeners. I wanted to share, I like discovered you both independently,
really,
and didn't know that you were like together a super team because, like, weirdly, PD, I saw you doing stand up was like the first thing I ever saw from you was clips of you doing stand up, and I sent it to like five of my friends, and I was like, this guy is funny, because I even jotted down because they've stuck with me. You had a bit about people that say like Satan is attacking a pastor because his mic back reverbs for a second or something.
Yeah, the way I started that was we don't give Satan enough credit, and then I just like, pause for a few seconds.
Yes,
and people are like, ah!
Dude, delivery was great. Yes, and it killed me. And then you had the what I thought was my favorite bit was the sloppy wet versus unforeseen, and you were like, it's got to be sloppy wet because of consent. And that was the first time I was like, this guy's great. This is so funny.
And then how'd you discover Shama?
This is probably a story Shama's never heard, but through the VeggieTales remix.
Yeah. That little thing.
Familiar. that thing you did. No, that was like devastating. No, Shama, that was so good. And I just so appreciated, I don't know if you guys resonate with this at all, but like in the sphere of Christian comedy or Christian content creation, you're just so used to it's like this great value watered down version often. Yeah. And so when I saw like really good stand up and then I saw you doing like, okay, so it's like a song, but it's like a satire song. It's got a new spin on it. And it's like an absolute banger also, by the way, like it's also like a really, really good song.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, that's awesome. I like these two songs. And then, like, you're both unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
When did you make that connection?
I think the Illuminati chat is the only way I found out. Yeah. And then you started doing, you started posting your tweets on the Deuteronomy memes enough that I was like, I think that guy's probably like maybe associated with that account, or he's just whoever runs is just a big fan of PD, which is fine by me. How did you guys like start working together? How did you find, how did you two start?
So, I say this all the time, but this story sounds a little creepy.
Yeah. But I was actually lost in a Walmart. I couldn't find my mom.
And I was like, you young child, go down to the corner butcher and fetch me the biggest bird. In this story, I'm Scrooge. In this retelling, I'm Scrooge. Get me the biggest bird. So PD and I went to the same church. He was like 10 or 11 at the time.
Yeah.
He was in kids ministry, and I went there as a college student, and then I got recruited to work on the youth ministry, in the youth ministry. And PD like graduated into the youth ministry that year, and he was like super young, and he was just like the new, you know, like the middle schoolers at youth group. He always had like a super fresh haircut because he went to a Christian school.
Fresh and, bowl cut.
just like this funky. And I walked up to him and I said, "Yo, little dude from across the street, let me hold the dollar," which is a very famous quote from Everybody Hates Chris, show by Chris Rock. And PD was like, "Oh, Everybody Hates Chris, I love that show." And I looked at him, I was like, "Oh gosh, like, hey, that's, yeah, I like you, dude. I've never heard anybody who likes that show." It was just like me at the time. And I always thought that show was just like comedically amazing. And and that was it. Yeah, I just kind of dragged PD around. Like, we'd go out to eat, I'd like take him home, and we just rode along and talked.
So kids, if you're looking to get into comedy, watch Nick at Night.
And one day a black guy in your youth group will discover you. No, that's kind of it, really. And I think everything else that transpired after that has just been like a very natural, just like, hey, like I did stand up and PD started doing stand up, and we like wrote together, we wrote along together, we
then
talked
our,
about like, stand up.
Content creation, I hate that word. Journeys were like tied together because I discovered podcasts and I told Shaman to listen to podcasts.
And I started listening to
podcasts. Through podcasts, you started doing stand up.
Yeah.
And I started doing stand up.
Yep. Yep. And then after that, I got a job. So it's like, honestly, man, it's really, I'm not trying to be like cheesy, but I think it's more than anything like the Lord. We just happened to be in like the right place at the right time. And like we started listening to podcasts together. And then we went to church, and then I left that church, and PD still went there. And then I got a job at a production company, and my boss was like, "Hey, you could shoot stuff on the weekends if you want." And I shot like VeggieTales Remix, and I showed PD, and I shot something else, and PD was like, "This is amazing. We should make stuff together." And so, yeah, just over from 2010 till now, it's just been like this flow of just meeting each other, and let's go to Cracker Barrel, and like, hey, you know, as black and white people do in South Carolina, let's go to Cracker Barrel. What are you doing? Let's go to the barrel. And so. Yeah, until now, so which is crazy that, that people have like known about us individually and together.
But
so.
Trust me, we had plenty of bad ideas before we started making the good ones.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So that's been it, man. It's been super cool. I tell people all the time that I'm like, when people want to like write with me or do something, I'm like, well, you need to find a PD. So like PD and I like answer each other's phones and texts and all the time, and so it's been a good. Well, what's the age difference? I don't know, like 8 years. It's been good. It's been a good friendship. Yeah,
I love the idea of you two eating at Cracker Barrel. Just every table is just the same setup, the same looking people.
But PD loves Cracker Barrel.
I do. I have only ordered one thing at Cracker Barrel my entire life.
Chicken nuggets and three chicken tenders. My bad. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. An elitist. Chicken tenders and three sides of mac and cheese. And every time I see it, I'm like, I'm eating with a child. I'm eating with a child who had no parents who loved him.
So they give me half a plate of mac and cheese.
Yeah.
And then I get the third side, which is an additional bowl of mac and cheese.
Dude, the waitresses, every time he orders that, they're like, huh? What? Even they're like, sir, like, I deliver pork chops, but you, sir, are insane.
And then I feel like I want to die every time I leave because I eat it all.
Yeah. Yeah, that is really remarkable that your third side is mac and cheese. That almost sounds like self-sabotaging in a way that you're... doubling down like that.
It is definitely self-sabotaging.
Do you guys notice, this is something that actually bothers me a lot about Cracker Barrel, their star system on their aprons, like the servers there?
Yes.
I find that like really uncomfortable when like somebody's walking around with five stars and they're like delivering food, and then someone has like one star and you're don't let them label you like that. I don't. You're probably a great server. I don't. This is weird to me. You have this weird.
The one star is always. It's actually not. It's called a rising star. I think that's what it's called. You don't have one star. You're a one star on the rise. You're going places, baby. The Cracker Barrel hierarchy.
I think we should vote. And then, like, they get a new apron every month depending on what their rating is.
Yeah, I like that. I like that, like, Yelp exists on, like, a five-star system. And Cracker Barrel's like, that but people. Let's do that but employees.
Isn't that what
public.
China does?
They're like, China but Cracker Barrel.
What is it called? A social...
Social score.
Yeah.
That's, like, a thing. That's very funny. That's a very funny observation. I had a friend who worked at Cracker Barrel, and he said like he never made it past the rising star. And he was low key like, no, not low. He was pretty high key like, yo, like, what up? Bring out Mr. Barrel. I'm trying to talk. Mr. Barrel.
I like that he, I like that the one is a rising star. I do think that's something Yelp should take and be like, this Wawa is not terrible. No, it's a rising star.
It's a rising star. Yeah.
Look at all the room for Wawa to grow. This particular Wawa, it's on the come up. You want to get to this Wawa before everybody's talking about it.
Dude, Wawa's a big. Wait, where are you at? Where do you live?
I'm in the like Clearwater, Florida. You know where that is? Outside of it's like the Tampa Bay area.
All right, so that now makes me angry because I've heard of Wawas in Virginia, and I think North Carolina. But there's none in South Carolina, but y'all got them in Florida? Y'all got, how did they skip us? Were they just kind of like, Wawa? No. They're good over there. Wawa, Florida.
I tell you, we were in desperate need. What we were short on was gas stations, so I'm really thankful that Wawa made the long trek down here. That's a joke. We have a lot of gas stations. I don't know what happened. I don't know. Are you guys Wawa fans? Like, I'm genuinely curious.
I've been to a Wawa. It's like a QT. It's like basically like a huge. I think it's like a nicer version of a QT. Do you know what Quick Trip is?
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got Quick Trips here.
I'm always super confused because people like swear by Wawa. They're like Wawa sandwich. You ever had a Wawa sandwich? And I'm like, no. And they put one in right across from my work. So I was like, I'll have to go try. Everyone's talking about these Wawa sandwiches. I walk into a gas station. Remember, friends and listeners, it is a gas station.
Yeah.
And then I get a sandwich and I eat it and I'm like, it's not bad, but have you guys ever had sandwiches like elsewhere? this is just a gas station sandwich. Dude, I don't understand what you're excited about.
People wear like Wawa merch. It's a big deal. It's a big deal.
And then the next thing they were on was the coffee. Like, oh, you got to try the coffee. You got to try it. I'm like, it is a gas. I don't know what else to tell you guys.
Yeah.
It's fine. I have no issues, but if you're running around saying like, you know what my favorite coffee is racetrack coffee. Have you guys ever had the coffee at the racetrack? No, man. Go somewhere that makes coffee and then like that coffee. That just
seems logical. PD's a Quick Trip coffee guy. But
or
no, I mean, in boardroom meetings, that's kind of like what they do in boardroom meetings. They're like, hey, can we send a young intern to the nearest BP? We got to get some of their... We got to get... What is it? We got to get pickled eggs... Two hot dogs. Hold on, I'm building it. Hold on. A jumbo sized of Dorito. A small tube of lotion. And 14 cups of coffee. And creamer.
Solid.
Yeah. Oh man. And a trucker hat. Come on, guys. You can't go to a gas station. Every time I go to a gas station, I leave with a truck. Honestly, I have not been inside a gas station. I only go inside to like use the restroom. Really, I don't go inside. To, like,
huge flex is right it? Now, listeners.
Is it? Hey man, I don't know, man. I don't know if you're familiar with my VeggieTales, the payout.
I never go in. Shama drives around with someone and says, "Will you please go in there and get my snacks?"
I say, "Young man." No, I don't say it like that. Please, Anthony. I say, "Young man." I say, "Young man, could you?" Man.
Shama pays in cash, but he makes the clerk come out to him, hands him the cash, then he goes back inside. Say,
"Young man, please summon me. Summon me the attendant, please."
I'm in need of beef jerky, please.
I wish to refuel the Prius, please, Sire. Please, young man. I drive a Prius.
And now he's on Bridgerton. Now he's driving a Prius on Bridgerton. In Florida, every gas station has alligator heads like available for purchase. That's not a joke. That's something we really do. At least my neck of the woods. Football. I can't speak for all of Florida.
Are you? Were you born in Florida? Born and raised?
Born and raised. Went to college at the University of Tampa, which is like 45 minutes from where I was.
You gotta be pretty
happy
right now with the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Pretty stoked. It's like stinks because not a lot of people can go, as you probably assume. Like usually you feel like you're in the fringe of the fringe of the fringe that maybe you might be able to get in somehow. Even that would have probably been a pipe dream, but yeah, it's super exciting. Super exciting. It's like been a crazy year. PD, back to the Illuminati chat. I do feel like PD is one of the only other sports fans in there with me. So like anytime a major sports happening thing, we've not even talked about this, PD, but I always think, but probably no one else cares about this, but PD might.
Yeah, they're all sports illiterate, including Shama.
I'm sorry. But I will watch the Super Bowl this year. My wife's family are huge Chiefs fans. So, and they're also prayer warriors. So, Tampa. So, Florida, watch out.
I'm just trying to decide.
God and Patrick Mahomes are coming for you.
God and Patrick.
God and Patty.
God and Antonio Brown.
Is he on the Chiefs?
He's on the Bucks.
Oh, okay.
He's on the Bucks.
I'm trying to decide if I hate Le'Veon or Antonio Brown more, and then whoever I come to the conclusion, who I hate more, that's who I'm going to root for, the opposite team.
That's got to be tough. I mean, Antonio played at least the whole time, right?
Yeah.
At least towards the end. He started going to the Dancing with the Stars instead of playing his football games he was supposed to play.
Really?
He was on Dancing with the Stars. On the Churchy Awards, we kind of like recapped all the crazy things that he did. Because I nominated him for Adult Baby of the Year. That's one of our award categories.
Golly, man. I can't. Yeah, I can't wait till they make a Last Dance with him or something. And it's going to be like, and then he had frostbite on his feet. And you're like, dang, come on, bro.
And the thumbnail is just a blonde mustache. Yeah.
And then he had a music career.
Dude.
Like, what? Stop. Yeah. Yeah.
That was a wild ride.
Yeah, yeah. So
the Antonio Brown saga was a wild ride. Go ahead.
Let me ask you this. Being from Florida, how do you feel when you see Florida Man articles? Like on the real, Florida Man and Florida Women? Because like I read that and I'm like, golly, man, what's going on? What's going on down there?
What's in the water?
Do we got to saw off Florida? Let it flow? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
It hit me several weeks ago that when I make jokes or hear jokes, that like I am a Florida man. Like that is the start of the article. It's like a Florida, when you describe who's on the podcast with Petey and Shama, a Florida man is on the podcast.
Yeah, a Florida man on the show. Yeah.
So I am that. So I have to wear that as my identity. No, it is true to it. Like Florida is the wild, wild west. Like it is just. Because there's very few native Floridians, very, very few native Floridians. So people come from all over because the weather's so nice. And they just do whatever they want all the time. And, like, it's constant. like, I always joke that, like, the American dream is, like, you can go somewhere and be, you know, whatever you want to be, maybe, or do whatever you want to do. That's, like, a short version of the American dream. Like, in Florida, that is true. In Florida, that is 100% real. Like, when Florida man stories became a thing, Floridians were like, oh, is that weird to you guys? That's not a normal news story that a man was arrested with like 175 samurai swords that were set up in a booby trap formation when they went in the house to like arrest him. Cause that's a real story that happened within like 45 minutes of my house. Like, it just is the weirdest stuff. When you're flirting, you're just accustomed to these type of things. You see them all the time. Another great joke my friend made was like Tiger King. Of course, we were like 50% of Tiger King takes place in Florida.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah, it's true.
You're like looking at these people and we were laughing together because we were both not shocked by the appearance of the Tiger King and his cohorts. And we were like, it's because we grew up in Florida. We just see these people around all the time.
That is so funny. Because, like, so I've like, been on set and been on productions and have acted. And, like, creating a character is like, you know, it's one of those things that's really hard to do. Like, people go crazy. Heath Ledger lived in a hotel room. And, like, all these other people, like, they, like, write notebooks from, like, the character and, like, get inside somebody's head. And then you build out the costume and the designer and you do all these things. But, like, every character from Tiger King is, like, such a well-rounded, specific type of person that you're like, who is – this can't be real. Like, everybody is insane and the dude's got, like, a neck – like a knee brace and a cane. And you're like, what? If I made a movie called Tiger King without him not existing, that would be the lead. Like, that's exactly how that person would dress. The mustache, the freaking – when the girl's arm was bitten and he comes out in like a paramedic jacket, you're like, golly, did you – is somebody queuing you up for these? Or are you just kind of like – no, this is the part in my starring role where I switch it up one time.
Who could have been better for the part than Carol?
Yeah, come on, yeah. Carol Baskin? Carol Baskin?
Carol Baskins.
Oh, man, this just became... I just realized we got way too much. We've talked about Tiger King a lot on the show. But then also, like, it's like, you know, it's like church stories. Dun, 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 dun. It's like Tiger King. It's like, all right, hold on. Hold my cane.
But that's like, I want to reiterate to you guys, and also on behalf of the Florida tourism industry, of which I am a brand ambassador, that is Florida. Everybody you walk by, the guy that works at my grocery store has this like really thick German accent. His name is Hans, and he hands me and I'm like, you got a story. I know you got a story. Wow. Like, this is Florida. You walk around and you're just, everybody you meet, you're like, you got a story. You got a testimony. If it was on church stories, they might say. that is Florida. That's Florida in a nutshell. So yeah, we're it's great down here. Everyone, you guys should come down.
Hey, yeah, I've been to Florida a couple times on some productions, and I've had fun. I've also had like the worst experience. Like, it was like a rough production. It was a rough shoot, man. It was like 3 day, no, it was like a 8 day corporate thing, and we like lost footage, and it was a mess. So anytime me and the guy, like the people who went on that shoot, we always talk about like, hey, y'all want to go to Florida? And they're like, no, we never, because then we had to like send another team back, and like our company lost money because they had to fly somebody out to refilm.
Oh,
it was an event that they had to like recreate. It was a mess. So ever since then, I was like, man, I don't really despise Florida, but it's just like what happened on a work trip in Florida.
I get
but
it.
No, Florida, fine people.
Does That's anybody the be- state
did
motto.
Anybody believe that when I said that? I'm just kidding.
That's the state motto. Fine people.
Fine people.
Fine people. And it's just like that. The fine is like really high. Florida, fine people. Maybe.
Fine. Fine. The weather is great. The people are fine.
Fine. They're fine.
Disneyland's here. The people are fine.
Fine.
Florida, carry a gun. Fine people.
It's fine.
They're fine.
Carry a gun like wherever you want all the time. That, dude, that is Florida. Like, that's, that came across a couple months ago, I think. They were like, they're talking about open carry permits, like, everywhere, all the time. And you're just like, why? Like, who is asking? Who's putting this request in? That's... Florida, man. I love
that's
it.
That's what. So I'm from Tanzania, East Africa. So my mom still lives there, and I have family and friends who live there. And I think like a lot of Florida news, like that's what we export out, is just like the crazy things that happens in the U.S. So people always ask me about like politics and like flying. If I turn in my like TSA or, you know, travel agents in different countries, when I turn in my American passport, they're like, oh, I can't. Wow. How is everything OK? And I'm like, no, it was fine. Like, it's really chill. But every now and then, like, yeah, Samurai Man comes up in the news with booby traps in his house. And you're like, is America OK? You're not worried about just one part of it. You're worried about all of America. You're like, somebody needs to do a homie check on the United States.
Well, I saw this travel info thing that was like, things to watch out for, like when you're traveling
in different places.
Yeah. And in America, it was like, don't talk about politics and gun violence is an issue.
Oh. I mean, they're not wrong. They're not. No, I mean, they're not wrong. Dude,
I really want to see this, PD, because that's a fascinating like bit of information. Hey, when you go to England, do not bring up decaf tea.
Yeah, yeah. You don't do it. Don't do
it. There's just these hot button topics for every part of the world. That would be a fascinating list to get. Like when you get to Australia, do not talk about long sleeve shirts. We don't bring it up.
You get to Germany, look, they remember. Don't bring it up.
They remember. They know. They know. Darn it.
They're sorry.
They've seen the boy in the striped pajamas.
I always feel that for Russians too. Like Russians are like every iconic movie, right? Like you get Die Hard, and they're always the bad guy. You're like, why did it's? Can we let it go at this point? Yeah, can we let it go?
Go ahead.
Well, I was just I get the storyline and things, but I think I haven't seen it yet. But I think it's the second Creed. Creed fights the Russians kid again, and it's just like always. Like, it's been a long time since Russia's been the real world bad guys. We should let him off the hook.
It's like James Bond movies, all those movies. It's always. And I mean, I wish I could say I've met a great. I had a roommate in college. I went to a small Bible college here in town, in Greenville. And I had a Russian roommate. And when I tell you, this guy's name was Tim. I'm gonna say his last name too, because it's funny. Tim Kim. Tim Kim. He was a Russian guy who was adopted by I think a Korean man from Russia. They lived in California, and he came to a Bible college in South Carolina. It doesn't sound real when I talk about it. All right. Tim was, we went to a Bible college. He was a terrible alcoholic, smoked weed all the time, loved disco music, and would glow stick dance. It's where you put glow sticks on your fingers and turn it. And he one time like stomped on a frog in front of people. He was always trying to like prove his masculinity. He one time, we shared an apartment together, me and like me and five other dudes. He busted into my room one night like 2 a.m. and lit a lighter under his arm and like scorched his arm, just kind of held it there.
How has this never come up after 100 something episodes?
Dude, because every time I went to Bible college. I went to Bible college. And, like, hey, people are gonna. I don't want people to connect with like the worst people, dude. This guy.
Didn't you just name him so people are gonna connect? Yeah. The dots?
I mean, I don't know, but this guy was insane. Like, I'm talking glow stick dancing, like twirling, like under like the lay. He was he was like low key good at it, but it's one of those things that he would just like be in his room, and he would just be like,
low key good at.
He's like, it was so. It was so. He did like crazy. He one time like, oh, like, dude, you remember Jess? Remember Jess? She he was like, yo, can you take me to Walmart? And she took a couple of guys and another girl. They rode along to a Walmart, and when they were coming back, they drove back to the school or whatever, to the apartment, and he was like, oh, could you let me out right here? And she was like, nope. And he like rolled out of the car.
What?
He rolled out of the car, out of the moving vehicle, and like scraped himself up. And Jess was like, why? So this guy was so crazy.
Tim, why?
That's one of those things. It's like, what are you doing? It's like he was trying so hard to be like, he was putting like extra Russian on everything, but it was like, bro, like, we believe you, bro. Like, you're hard, bro. Like, we get it, man. You go hard, man. Like, we get it, man. But he was like, yeah, he was like going extra hard in the Russian villain thing.
I met Putin a couple times. Chill guy.
You're like, great guy. My guy. Chill. But listen, if you're a Russian and you listen to this, you're like a great Russian. We'd love to meet you.
You're
like a good Russian.
So many quality Russians out there.
Racist. Producer's laughing. No, I believe that there's great Russians. But
you're digging yourself a deeper hole.
When I see it.
But when they send them,
reach out.
They're not sending their best.
Reach out. I would meet somebody in like a trench coat that'd be like, I heard you summon me in podcast. And then he like gives me a hug, and I'm like, oh yeah, I met one. Shanks me. And I'm like, I knew it. You got me. I knew it. I felt you. I got you. I knew it.
This happens every time we go on someone else's podcast. We're just going to take over with nonsensical rants.
Cut out the Russian bit. You can cut it out. We'll keep it. I'm sorry. I just remembered that. Oh, man. But we got to get to a church story. It's a Bible college story. Close enough.
That counts.
But no, Anthony, the podcast is called Church Stories. Your podcast is about Bible. It's funny. So we're going to talk about the Bible, and we're also going to talk about church stories. But yeah, do you have a funny, interesting, or insightful church story by chance?
A funny, interesting, insightful church story about me.
Or insightful. It doesn't have to be all three. Yeah. I just asked you to write a feature film.
Can it be funny, just give us mesmerizing, a story, inspiring, bold?
extra points if it consists of any people of Russian descent as well.
It's basically the plot of God's Not Dead 2, but yeah. I will try and condense it.
Is it really? Are you joking?
No, I'm joking. I'm 100% joking.
I was about to say. I was like, somebody owes you money.
So many stories come to mind when you say that. Yeah. I've been around church like my whole life. I'm one of those like kids that's like my first memories. I'm in the nursery, and then I came up through church. Never had like a period where I was like not involved in church. So
did your parents work in a church?
They did not. My mom got saved. Really grew up with just my mom. And then she started taking me to church because someone she worked with, was a pastor at this church that we went to when I was a kid. And, so then that's where I started going to church there. And then that's where she really plugged in, got connected to her faith. And then we were kind of off to the races from there. And then I've served on staff at a church for the last, 11 years. So there have been many church stories that come to mind when you say that. I'm really trying to go through in my mind and pick like the best one.
Hey, it doesn't have to be. Listen, we're gonna have you. We'll have you on the show again. Like you could just pick one and then we'll do it. We'll do it again another time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. The one that's coming to mind is. I was an announcement guy for a while, and I would like, as you can imagine, and I feel like this has happened with other people that are interested in comedy, and you have this like announcement slot, and you end up doing funny things in it, so I would like do little bits of like, which I'm sure the worship team hated in hindsight, by the way, because it was just like, you are good, ooh, and then I would come in there and come in with my like, so the Super Bowl's coming up this weekend, and blah, 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 blah. And they're all like, man, we were padding under you the whole time, and you ruined it.
Openers though, so that's, they're like, come on. You're like, guys, come on. I'm closing out the show. Me and the pastor, I'm featuring for the pastor.
He opened for me. That's right.
I'm middling.
So one time I go up there and I do my thing, and I always said the prayer at the end of the service too. So I would like release everybody, and then I said the prayer, and I was like, I just having a particular moment where I thought I was like doing better with my bits that I was doing up there. Yeah. And this one like guy came up to me after the service, and he's a guy who's like been at our church before. I'd seen him a couple times, and he talked to me a couple times, and I'm thinking like, here comes the victory lap. Like, here, I did a good job, and he's gonna come up and tell me how funny my joke was, and blah blah blah. And he comes up to me afterwards, and he's like, hey, you know, when you said your prayer at the end, you didn't pray in Jesus' name. And if we don't pray in Jesus' name, you didn't say in Jesus' name, amen. Oh. And if we don't pray in Jesus' name, no one knows under whose name it is we're praying. Oh. We could be kind of praying for anybody. So just something for you to consider.
Was he like a visitor? You said he was a visitor, or
no? He was like a deacon, and like we all knew it. It was just a funny little window of time at that church. I'm immediately regretting picking this for my church story.
No, no, no.
So
hold, guys, on, hold on. Hold on. Now, I want to know, you either went one of two directions, because now you're in a fork in the road if he was the deacon.
Right,
so
he's a deacon.
After that, did you pray, like, did you like really like hit that in Jesus, in Jesus' name. And after did you just cut it out completely just to make him mad? Like, did you overemphasize that we are praying this and like the miraculous and powerful and the wonder working, you know, or did you just kind of like, in Jesus' name, amen?
I was like, I'm like really conflict averse is like my natural state of being. So immediately I was like, wow, thank you for bringing this to my attention. This is a DEFCON 5 emergency. And I'm honestly, who I feel the most for is Jesus, because now Jesus doesn't know that who I was talking to that whole time. Yeah, and that's going to be confusing. It's like
standing by.
There's prayers that just float up and they don't get addressed correctly. And then they're stuck in the postal service.
Now I got to send it back to sender. Now he's like, I can't, come on, guys. You know, I can't do nothing with that. There's order up here.
Whose name? He didn't give a name. So we got to send it back. I'm pretty conflict averse. There was a guy at that church that called me Andrew for like 3 years. And I just did not, I just got away from me. And it was like,
what is your role at the church? If you don't mind my asking.
I was the creative arts and communications pastor at that church. Yeah. That was the church I was serving at.
What were you gonna say?
No, go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to say, I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to cut you off, but one of my favorite, I worked for a church, but as I got let go, voluntarily let go in 2016. So I haven't been like a part of, like worked at a church for a long time. But one of my favorite pastimes is going on a church website and just seeing the titles that people hold on the about page, because that crap is, it'd be like the pastor of urban recruitment and development, the creative arts pastor and social outreach, the family young mom pastor, and you're like, what the heck, the kitchen and the custodial services minister. And I'm like, man, you could just janitor. It's like next gen and uprising gen. And you're like, is this like a revolution? Is somebody in this church leading a revolution?
Uprising gen.
Next gen superstar. Yeah. And then like whatever kids ministry, it'll be like Kids Plus, whatever. It sounds like a sick streaming service stuff. Kids Plus, buy kids for kids. No, but it'd be like waterfall kids or zoo kids ministry or whatever. And you're like, join the zoo campus on Saturday. And it's all like animal themed. You're like, come on. So yeah, I was on a Zoom call with somebody the other day and he was like, he works for a big church. And I was like, I just looked him up and I was like, dude, they had like 80 employees. And I was reading through them. I'm like, how much are you getting paid? What do you do? 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 Who do you report to? Who do you, all of y'all report to?
That's a really great, like, that's something churches just have they have a problem in this area. So they'll be like, you should check out, you guys do so much of this in your random action verb church stuff, which is hilarious. Yeah. But like, it's exactly that. It's like, you should check out like Ovation. And it's inevitably like, what is Ovation? Oh, it's our young adult ministry. Call it that? Like, so many churches I've been to that they're like, oh, you should check out Reflections. Okay, what is Reflections? Right. Oh, that's our, for kids. It's a children's ministry.
Yeah, Reflections. But Reflections has like the 75 and older. And they don't know, it's just shut-ins. It's just shut-ins. All they do is like, they're like, man, in 97, I met a young man at a Wawa.
Full circle. It's a room with a lot of mirrors.
Reflections is the best name for a senior adult ministry. Somebody listening to this podcast, please steal that. Reflections. And it's just a group, we just get together, we talk about how good church used to be, how good food used to be, we just reflect. That is going to be the most jumping senior adult ministry from whoever takes that right now.
It doesn't exist already, right? Mm-hmm. But so let me ask you this, like, have you ever visited a church and like they had that lingo going and you're just like lost? You know what I mean? Like,
oh, 100%.
Just talking about like, hey guys, Overflow is going to be doing some crazy stuff. And you're like, oh, what is Overflow?
Is that a rapper?
Yeah.
Overflow is going to be wilding out.
We got the little tater tots will be coming out to sing a song. You're like, are those three black guys with dreads?
The little tater tots?
Or are they 3 year olds? What is it?
I think that'd be little tots.
Little tots? Okay. Yeah, this is kind of like the shtick or whatever.
the first meeting, my first day at the church I currently serve at, they were on like their staff retreat. And so this guy gets up there and he's talking, like doing like a little devotional to start us off. And just exactly what you said, but they had done some internal staff stuff. So they were like, hey, I know some of you guys are red and some of you are green and some of you are blue. And we were like trying to figure out how to like interact. And then we're like, we got to remember that some of our stuff is circles, but some of us do better in the squares. So I'm literally like looking around like, what are we? You guys know what we're talking about? Is the blue man group about to perform?
We really need the whites and the blacks to get together because it's been time. And the whites, we're in a position where I feel like we need to. You're like, wait a second. Wait, is this about race or is this about
black whites and they're white blacks?
Oh, there's no rhyme or reason. It's just colors. And the squares and the circle. So this is your first staff meeting, and you're just kind of like, whoa, am I on? And did I happen to take acid somehow between first then and now?
100%. I was like, I am very confused by all this. And yeah, they were just off and running with
what
that
internal
stuff.
What was it? What did it explain? What did it mean?
So it's like a personality profiling thing. Like red.
Of course, yeah. Yeah.
And they had just gone through it, like, as a staff and everything. But, yeah, this church is way better about the naming and the branding and stuff. But, we traveled with Isaac Improv. I traveled and did improv comedy for a long time.
Oh, shut up, dude. You're okay. Are you still with them?
Yeah, we just haven't been traveling. I mean, because there has been a pandemic. But I don't know if you guys have that in South Carolina, but we have it in Florida. So we've been.
My bad. No. I was gonna say, are you like, because you make video content too, right? Y'all do that, right?
Yeah. So we were like doing. We were really loving how that was going, and then for us to shoot the Tim, who I shoot with, and our production team is in Nashville, and I'm in Florida.
Yeah.
And we shoot in churches primarily because we were like building out a story with this church. So we've stopped. We just have started talking again about shooting because we're all like itching to. But, so we would travel and every youth group would have a great name, and it was just, I love that. That's never going to get old to me. But the staffing thing is its own animal, like director of storytelling, just the most, because a lot of times,
what is it?
Yeah. I didn't notice this till my non-churchy people would speak into it, but a lot of times they're like, hey, you can come up with your own job description and you can come up with your own job title. And that's like, I'm finding...
That makes a lot of sense.
Exactly. And here's the thing, though, is that you think that's cool when you get that, because you're like, oh, man, look at me, in control, doing things. And then people are like, oh, like people outside of the little church bubble will be like, oh, cool, did you get like a raise? And you're like, well, no, not in 10 years.
I got to...
But I got to pick my own title.
My page on the website. Yeah. So now it's new headshot. New title, name, email,
and a pay cut due to the pandemic.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Pay cut due to the pandy.
Yeah, the pandy.
The pandy pay cut.
Stimmy.
Stupid. I had something prepared for you guys. If you have a minute,
absolutely, yes.
It's Bible related. I wanted to play a game with you guys called How Well Does Deuteronomemes Know Deuteronomy?
This is the your Deuteronomemes. Name every Deuteronomy?
Every Deuteronomy. Here's the way the game works. I'm going to ask you about something in Deuteronomy, and you have to submit a guess.
Oh, no. Wow. Okay.
This is the gotcha journalism that we haven't experienced yet.
Oh, man. This is good. I like it.
Okay, so here you go. In Deuteronomy, this is what's going to be the problem, is differentiating the two. In Deuteronomy, and it's specifically, because you probably haven't memorized, it's specifically Deuteronomy 25. It is explained why you would call an Israelite family the family of the unsandaled. The family of the unsandaled. Why would you call an Israelite family the family of the unsandaled?
Do we get lifelines? Who wants to be a millionaire?
Can I get a let the producer Google? I'm gonna take a guess.
Okay, we have a
guess. It's because Moses was told to take off his sandals.
I love this guess. That's a great guess. PD, what do you got?
My guess is they just didn't like shoes.
barefoot gang. They're like, write that in the Bible. Write that down.
We didn't like shoes. Put it down, Moses. Yeah, put it in the book. Yeah.
If you're friends with us, you're friends with the people that don't like shoes.
Yo, if you a patriot. Little callback.
Yeah.
Hey, okay, did I get it right?
No.
You guys were really close. Okay. So Deuteronomy 25:7 says, however, if a man does not want to marry his brother's wife, she shall go to the elders at the town gate and say, my husband's brother refuses to carry on his brother's name in Israel. He will not fulfill the duty of a brother-in-law to me. Then the elders of the town shall summon him and talk to him. If he persists in saying, I do not want to marry her, his brother's widow shall go up to him in the presence of the elders, take off one of his sandals, spit in his face, and say, this is what is done to the man who will not build up his brother's family line. The man's line shall be known in Israel as the family of the unsandaled.
Oh, what?
So he just had to take that in front of a bunch of people?
Wait. I'm going to take off your shoe. I'm going to spit in your face. All right. Write that down. Put that in your little Bible.
Why? Man, people are weird. This is Florida. Is this like the Florida of the Bible?
The Florida edition.
Deuteronomy
yes.
is the Florida part of it. Yo, wait a second. How did you find that? Were you just like, I'm just going to skim through Deuteronomy real quick. How did you find that?
Well, so the whole Bible is funny is built out of like, I went through the Bible like with a fine tooth comb for like, took me like a year and a half to like really go through every detail and just jot down different observations that I thought were funny. And the family of the unsandaled made the cut. I always thought my take on it was potentially it's that family at church that's like a mess when they leave the house and they bring their kids to the nursery without shoes on or something. Yeah, and you're like, oh, that might be the family of the unsandaled. You guys submitted.
What a weird ritual. Like,
it's just
the Bible. Like when I was a youth pastor, I remember telling kids like, hey, read through the Bible. And they'd start in Genesis. And then like they'd come back and they'd be like, yo, kind of got weird, and then I kind of remember. I'm like, yeah, we did like, oh, we're gonna read the Bible in a year, and we started. And I remember I'd ask people on Wednesday, like, who's been reading? They're like, great. And then I remember the part where it's like, you know, when somebody took like a prostitute on the street and slept with her, and then cut her up and mailed her off, in like to 12, cut her up in 12 pieces and mailed her off. And I remember thinking, like, reading it, and I was like, oh gosh, and all the some youth kids are also reading this today. And
right.
Yeah, it's. I was like, oh, Bible gets like, Bible gets real R-rated. I mean, that's not even R-rated, dude. Even the Motion Picture Association, they're like, oh, whoa, slow it down.
It was like that's a 80s PG-13 right there.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's funny that you said. Yeah, I have a couple more. But it's funny you say that. Doing the Bible is funny. People will send me stuff, and they'll be like, this is funny. You should do something with that. And early on, someone sent me that passage. And I just had to go back, like, what do you think is funny about this? Like, dude, this is like a pretty heinous story. I don't understand how to do a funny take on it, friend, if you want to walk me through that.
But you do comedy, right? Well, write a little joke about that. Hey, write that down.
Put that in improv.
How about to put that? Hey, you do improv? Put that in your stand-up.
They chopped her up. Maybe you didn't read it right. Friend. All right, next one.
Maybe something like they put garlic salt on. No, I'm sorry. I took it too far.
You need a location for a scene. Warm. How about the room where she was murdered?
Yeah. what is the relationship? Brothers. Okay, can we get Abel and Cain? All right. Cool. Is that how improv? We're going to have to listen. We're going to talk about this, but then I've got more questions that we'll leave off at the end of this show so we could bring you back and we'll talk about it on another show. But I love it. Read this question.
All right, here you go. You got two more questions. This is the next one. There is a promise in the Bible that you may have a long and like happy life, essentially. Yes. And this is a promise that is attached to three commandments. I'll give you a little hint. The first two are, this is Deuteronomy 6, 1 and 2. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you. Blah, blah, blah. Their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you so that you may enjoy long life. So it's keeping God's commands is the first one. Ephesians 6, 2 and 3 is the second one. It's a little bit more famous. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Those are two. There is a third that's found in Deuteronomy. What do you believe the third secret or commandment for a long, happy life is?
Man, we need like multiple choice, dog.
This is the toughest one. This is the toughest one.
If a woman takes off your sandal and spits in your face, you're in trouble.
What is the third one? Does anyone read Deuteronomy?
I read through it. I read through the Bible as a flex when I was like 16, just to tell my parents. If people like, hey, did you read your Bible? I'd be like, I read it. I went like, did you read your Bible today? And I like made it a point to go through it in a year.
Yeah, we're gonna open TMZ and it's gonna be like Deuteronomy's creators don't know anything about Deuteronomy.
Hold the phone.
And they mentioned being the Illuminati.
When
frauds
grilled
exposed
by Anthony Russo, aka Florida Man, the boys were sweating and scared. You know how TMZ talks. Dude, I don't know. Okay, the first commandment is love the Lord your God, or wait a second.
It's like follow God's decrees. Yeah, that's the first one. Second one is honor your father and mother. Third one.
Gosh, man, I don't know it. I'm sorry.
I went to Bible college. This sounds like you should know it, but there's no way you do.
Keep memorize the Torah. Does it have something to do with the Torah?
I love your guesses, Shama. Petey, do you have a guess on this one?
Remember the Book of Mormon? I'm going to go with like...
Crossover episode. Like, I love that.
You said the Torah? I'm going Book of Mormon. Yeah,
okay. Big Mike, come on. Come on.
Deuteronomy 22, verse 6. If you come across a bird's nest beside the road, either in a tree or on the ground, and the mother is sitting on the young or on the eggs, do not take the mother with the young. You may take the young, but be sure to let the mother go so that it may go well with you and you may have a long life.
Huh? What?
Eat the mom's brother.
Leave the mother chicken. Take the eggs. That's something, obviously, again, this is something, what's cool about this part of the podcast is you guys can implement this. This is something you can work into your routine.
This is something, and when I see a chicken, I'll be like, whoa, what did Anthony tell me to do?
Hey guys, Deuteronomy's for the next month is going to be exclusively chicken memes.
I'm starting to think, and how long has Deuteronomy's, the Deuteronomy brand been a thing?
Like 3 years, maybe?
3 years. Great pun. But now that you held our feet to the fire, now I'm kind of like, you know, maybe I haven't cracked open Deuteronomy since we started the page, and I'm like, maybe not. Maybe should have just been like the memes of the Christian peeps.
Do you know how many messages I've gotten from people that followed just because of the name?
It's a great name.
Thank you.
Here's your last question.
I'm gonna get this one, Anthony. I got you, man. I got you.
There were these things called there were these towns that people went in this that the Israelite law built out, where like if you accidentally killed someone, you could go live in this town. And the premise was that the family of the person you accidentally killed can't come kill you in revenge, is the premise. Deuteronomy chapter 19, so this is verse 4. This is the rule concerning anyone who kills a person and flees there for safety. Anyone who kills a neighbor unintentionally, without malice, aforethought. So it's, again, it's like incidental. I think they would call it.
Who's fact checking?
Like,
who's on, like.
Sheesh. Oh, crap.
like, who's the person who's like, well, we gotta wait and see if it was an accident. We don't know.
I'm so glad that you asked that question, PD, because that's the question for you guys. Following this, there's a very specific example of an accidental murder. What do you think is the example given for an accidental murder? It's a very specific example. Somebody accidentally killing someone.
I'm gonna guess an animal got loose or something, and that's what they blamed it on.
Yeah. I think that's. I'm gonna go with animal too. I'm gonna go specifically. I think it's with a donkey.
With a donkey. Just a wild and out donkey. Okay, I love that.
Jace is shaking his head.
Just a wild donkey.
Verse 5. For instance, a man may go into the forest with his neighbor to cut wood, and as he swings his axe to fell a tree, the hand may fly off and hit his neighbor and kill him. That man.
I almost guessed axe, dude. I almost guessed an axe, but when you said animal, I was like, oh, yeah, of course an animal.
Okay. I tried to give it to you. I was like, accidental. I tried to throw in a little something there. I
didn't catch that.
Very specific example.
Oh my God.
The passage always makes me laugh because I think somebody wrote this and like the side eye that everyone must have given this person is to like, next time you ask me to go tree cutting, like I'm not going to go because of this very yeah. specific example of like, you know how it happens. You're out there and like, whoops, I chucked my axe and it killed you.
Is this the same thing that happened with Dick Cheney and his friend?
Yeah. Dick Cheney was like, hey, come on. Come on. Hey, do you got a Bible handy? Write that down. Squeeze it in between the lines of Deuteronomy. It's like when you're hunting with your friend and you accidentally shoot him in the face. Yeah. Come on, guys. Guys,
we've all been there.
We all know.
Singing, like, if I was... You know, living back then, what would I blame a murder on? Be like, oh, my goats got loose.
Like my goat, I thought a donkey. I thought, yeah, you know, when somebody you got kicked by a donkey. I almost said axe, man. Man, when my Bible college hears about this, if they hear about this, they're gonna be like, man, we're gonna Thanos snap your diploma, degree. I got a degree, guys. I got the real degree.
Wherever Tim Kim is, he's very disappointed. We were yeah, roommates.
Tim Kim's like, man,
we dedicate this podcast to Tim Kim.
I'm gonna take a lighter and go to Shabba's house.
Tim is listening to this podcast and he just dove out of the car he was in. Guys, I gotta go.
Like, I can't believe it. I was roommates with that guy.
I gotta go find Shama. He's obviously backsliding. Hey.
Man, oh, that's been so good. Man, what a great segment. We should, how have we never, this segment is so good that I'm like, why didn't we? Your segment, our segment, no. No, that was really good.
Speaking of Russians, yeah. Isn't that the meme, our? Like everything's
I thought you were about to go into like a Russia story.
Please leave that as is in the podcast for your producer there. Yeah. When I said, speaking of Russians, and there was a long, pregnant pause.
I was expecting you to keep going.
So I do, no, what was I going to say? I didn't know the backstory behind the Bible is funny. But man, that's what a great concept, man. I hope your page continues to like, man, blow up, dude. That's such a great... I didn't know. I feel like nobody told me that aspect of it. But dude, I'm definitely going to keep up now. I'm invested. And dude. I know the Florida man behind it.
You know the Florida man behind the mask. Yeah, it's really fun. Yeah. I love doing it. What my favorite thing is that people will send me like stuff. I made fun of the one. And that's you're listening, I love when people send me stuff. That one was particularly a little funny.
He didn't like it. I listened to a podcast and he trashed me.
Yeah,
they laughed.
Sorry.
This is Gingerbread Man from the Shrek. They laughed at me. So I sent him a DM and they laughed. He laughed at me on a podcast.
Mockery. The vocal range, so impressive.
I said it in earnest. I read the Bible just for this. I read the Bible with prayer like he did, and he left. Oh man. Hey, this has been so much fun, man. Hey, I don't know how you end your show. We end our show with praise reports. So we'll go around, do praise reports, and then what is the Bible is funny? What is your podcast? How do you normally end the episode? Like karate fight, you're the guest.
We usually karate fight the guest over Zoom. No, I just try to give people a way to follow you guys. So I talked about Deuteronomy memes. Deuteronomy memes is on Instagram. It's the best name of an Instagram account on Instagram.
Thank you.
Follow it there. Where else can I send people to check out your guys' stuff?
Church Stories Podcast.
Church Stories Podcast on wherever you get your podcasts. After School Program on YouTube. That's our channel. And just follow me and PD, I guess.
And me and Sean are on LinkedIn. If you want,
also on LinkedIn, a whole different version. Yeah. PD's got short hair. I've also got short hair, and I got it.
LinkedIn account. Yeah,
my profile picture is LeVar Burton, a young LeVar Burton.
This is the first LinkedIn PayPal accounts I've shouted out at the end of a podcast. So please.
Also, my PayPal, I'll shout that out too. But my PayPal picture is crying Michael Jordan. And I always think it's funny. They're like, if we ever do ads on Deuteronomy, that's where people send the money to. So they have to look up crying Michael Jordan.
Well, I think it's only funny if you send money. Because of course you do crying. Yeah. But you receive money and you're like, I'll take your digital, your zeros and ones money. Yeah.
But that's how I end my podcast. What do you guys, I want to hear your praise reports.
Okay, wait a second. Where can people follow you? This is for Church Stories as well. Where can people keep up with you?
So if for Church Stories fam, at The Bible Is Funny is the Instagram account. And then you can follow the podcast is The Bible Is Funny Podcast. Wherever you listen to podcasts, I'm there.
Yeah. Heck yeah. That's awesome, man. Hey, we end with praise reports. First of all, before our praise report, we got to check in with our producer. Sorry you can't see him, Anthony, but it's time to check in with Chase. Chase, what's good, brother?
I laughed so hard I cried when you were doing the high-pitched voice. That was funny, man. You should be a comedian or something.
Yeah, you should do a podcast.
Should I? I should make a couple of Instagram reels or something, shouldn't I?
that's all I
can do. Oh, thanks, man. I was checking with Chase. What's your praise report, PD?
My praise report is I listened to the Bible's Funny Podcast, and Matt from Memes for Jesus said that that him and Michael are the great value us.
Yeah. I think it's very funny. I've heard him say that joke before. Matt's joke writing is just laser accuracy, which I appreciate.
Matt's the best.
What is my praise report? No, this has been a great episode. I'm super glad we got to know you.
Yeah.
Anthony, and genuinely excited, man. I can't wait to keep up with you. The internet is so fragmented, you know, and then everybody does stuff, but unless somebody does a podcast or you sit down and talk to somebody and you get to know them, then you're like, oh, great. Now I know somebody else. So super appreciative of getting to know you, man. We got to have you back on. What did I say earlier? No. I want to talk about your experience touring with Isaac Improv, but I know we can't cram that into this episode. So we're going to have you back on. I want to hear all the weird suggestions. That's what I'm saying. I'm just going to set it up right there. So yeah, I'm super excited about having you on again.
One more thing. Another praise report. Don't say Joe Biden. Pronounce it Jabiden.
Jabiden.
It is so much fun to say Jabiden instead of Joe Biden.
I read your tweet. Where did you hear somebody say that?
I don't remember.
It was a podcast.
Were
they being serious?
I've got to find who said it. But
were they being serious?
No, they were being serious.
Oh, Jabiden. Yeah. Dude, I saw that and that's what I thought of the Jabiden. Get somebody Jabiden on the phone. I'm trying to make sense
get
of all
Jabiden.
Dude, ever since I read that on your Twitter, I've been saying, I'll just be driving by myself. My wife and son are out of town. I'll just be like, Jabiden. I'm like, what am I doing? What am I doing? Jabiden!
Jabiden sent Jabiden a letter!
I'm going to send him my Bible verse. I hope he doesn't laugh at me.
Oh, and I have a Nick Saban prayer candle that I brought with me. That too.
Listen, we are Christian people. This is not part of a. This is PD's a football fan, all right?
It's a nice Nick Saban prayer candle that my dad bought.
I got it. First, I got to tell you a quick Joe Biden story. My wife just came out here, too.
We'll say it right.
So she can appreciate Joe Biden. First, let me tell you Joe Biden commercial. Joe Biden. Oh, man. My wife came home one day, and she was singing the song. I don't even remember the real song at this point, but there was a part of the song that went, I think the lyrics were, "Want your body, need your body. If I got you, I don't need nobody." And my wife comes in and she's singing the song and she's going like, "I want Joe Biden, need Joe Biden, need Joe Biden. You got me." And I'm like, I don't think those.
That's a T.I. song. Yeah.
I want Joe Biden, need Joe Biden.
About Joe Biden.
I got you. I don't need your body.
Yeah. It's like, if I don't get your Biden, I don't need anybody else's body.
Guys, email us and work Joe Biden into songs, and you might get featured.
Hey, listen, man, an Instagram comedian, one of these little Instagram TikTok comedians is going to get a hold of that, and it's going to explode. We're going to be like, hey, Anthony's wife, Mrs. Russo, did it first.
All the credit. Okay, my praise report that I want to say is that I said it a lot in the beginning. I appreciate what you guys are doing on the internet so much. You guys are doing such quality, good stuff. And it really energizes me to see people in the space taking it seriously and doing their best and producing really quality, funny stuff. And you guys regularly, like I said, with your church news that you do, with all the videos that you guys put out, Shama, you've had some like TikToks and things that have just like flat out knocked me out. The recent one with the Christian TikToker is just pointing. I was literally on that rant to my wife like a day before. I'm on TikTok trying to understand this, and everybody's just making faces, pointing at things, and I don't know what to do with that. Then you made that, knocked me out. You had one about Random Action Verb Church doing a series on women and like the pastor.
Yeah,
being like,
biblical womanhood.
Dude,
yeah.
I'm serious. Like, both of you are creating such good content. It is so encouraging to me. Keep up the good work. That's my praise report.
Yeah. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Guys, this has been a really fun episode of Church Stories.
Yeah.
And you know I mean that, because I don't...
And none of you knew the answers to the Deuteronomy thing either.
And listen, you might be listening right now, and you're like, I can't believe they didn't get that right. Buddy, shut up. Unless, I wish there was a way... No. I know nobody got them.
No.
Unless you're fresh out of a book of Deuteronomy small group under your freaking reflections small group, and you're 75. That's the only way you got it.
Let me tell you what happens in reflections. They have a book of the Bible they're going through, but they sit there and just talk the whole time. They're like, all right, we're going to review Deuteronomy 4. So anyway, my back's been hurting. Bible's closed.
Like, oh, golly.
Tell me more.
Golly. And then at the very end, they're like, all right, let's close out. Somebody goes, hold on. My ear. What is it? What is the thing? My hearing aid was turned off the whole time. Could y'all just repeat everything y'all just said? I forgot to turn. They're like, I was in a small group where an old guy said that. He was like, guys, this was like week four. This is the last story, I swear. Week four of this small group, this old guy, and him and his wife, they came in. He's a sweet guy. He just smiled and listened the whole time. And week four, he goes, guys, I just have a praise report. I finally got my hearing aids to work. I've been here for the past 3 weeks, and I couldn't hear anything anybody was saying. I thought, man, what a flex. He was just like, I was like, I'm showing up. How about that? I'm there. How about that? Write that down. Nobody took off my sandal or spit in my face. Okay. Write that down.
That's hilarious. Hey,
this has been a great episode. Anthony, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Chase, Jamie, young Jamie. Thank you, brother. Anthony, we're gonna have you back on, man.
I would love it.
Now I'm invested in the success of all the doings of The Bible Is Funny and Isaac Improv.
Thank you
so much.
So you just
gave another fan. I appreciate it, man. And PD, thanks, man. I thank PD as if, like, if he doesn't show up, like, sometimes he doesn't show up, and I'm just in here like, wow, I invited him. We've done 100 of these, and he didn't show up, and he's late.
No, sorry, man. I had to go do another podcast.
Yeah, I was like, what? with another black guy? Come on.
You're going to walk into Cracker Barrel and he's sitting there and you're going to be like,
hey,
PD,
hey,
how dare you?
I've seen this. I've seen this movie before.
At Cracker Barrel with a two-star server. Meme,
but I'm like, what the... A rising star.
With a
the show's got a rising star. I'm like, wait a second.
But then you notice it's only two sides of mac and cheese instead of three, and you realize it's not me.
I'm like, oh, I'm freaking Mission Impossible style. I freaking pull the mask off, and I'm like, real PD, we get three sides, and a freaking Deccan. Credits roll, executive producer Tom Cruise.
Hear me when I say that the gingerbread yelling at me because it was sent in earnest will live rent free in my mind forever when I get submissions now.
Sent in earnest. Oh man, I had a blast. Oh man, this is too much fun. We're having too much fun, man. Hey, we're gonna land right here. Thanks, guys. The Bible.